So today we get to talk about Yitzchak. And the reason we get to talk about Yitzchak is because there's not so much to talk about Yitzchak, and therefore today is the day to talk about him. What happens because there's not so much material is that people can either tend to ignore him, or people could tend to say all kinds of things, which we can say are quite interesting, sometimes based on texts and sometimes based upon imagination. And I suspect that at least some of us are aware of some of these things that have been said. I'm going to say a couple of things which I don't know. I don't think I've ever articulated before. And, you know, looking quickly, I haven't seen, obviously, other people, I'm saying where people have said this in an obvious way. So let's just start. We'll begin. And I hope sooner rather than later you'll see exactly what I'm saying and where I'm going. So let's start. So I'm going to the chapter, which is the one which is not as dramatic as the other two, which means the introductory verses have some drama to them, and then we have the blessings, which have some drama. And this is the boring part in between. So, of course, we go to the boring part. Vayi ra'av ba'aretz, milvad ha'rav ha'rishona she'ya b'mei Avraham. So that right there, it sets up already a wonderful parallel, which it's essentially telling you, please compare and contrast things that would happen with Avram and Yitzchak, which is to a certain extent a great key to Yitzchak's life, the extent that he then goes, you know, in the same footsteps of Avram and follows Avram. And in this case, he almost literally follows those footsteps. Of course, with Avraham, he went a little bit further down, and he goes down all the way to Egypt, and that apparently is what Yitzchak is planning. So he goes in that direction. He's going to go down the coast. Some of us, I think, appreciate where that is. Okay, more or less. There are a lot of people that are in that area now. Now, what's important about this is, as far as we know, this is the first time that God has appeared to Yitzchak. So let's just keep that in mind, because I would say that Yitzchak has, I think it's obvious, that Yitzchak has reached out to God, but this is the first time that we see God appearing to him, Vayomer, and he appears in order to tell him no. Vayomer, al tered mitzrayma, which means essentially, don't do that which your father did. And I know I'm not even getting into the Ramban, was Avram right, was he wrong? We're not going there. That Yitzchak seems to think that what, you know, his father did, that's what you do. Which means that Yitzchak seems to have a great deal of respect for his father, and he's following in his footsteps. And I'm going to say it again, literally. And here God says, don't. Shechon be'eretz asher omar lecha. Rather, you're going to stay where I want. And it is somewhat obscure over here, what is the status of this land. Gur be'eretz hazot, right? What is the zot over here? Well, the zot is that he's by Eretz Plishtim, he's by Gerar. And I will be with you. And I'm going to bless you. So I'm going to give you all of these lands, not just, you know, the way that we're more used to, the land that you're lying on is yours, or I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you all of the lands, and I am going to fulfill with you the blessing that I made with Avram. So again, this sense of Yitzchak continuing in the footsteps of Avraham is confirmed not just by his behavior, but also by the interaction with God. And again, the same blessing is then echoed that God had given to Avram. Did I just read that? No? Okay. And you are going to be the source of blessing. So again, very similar. And now, just to confirm the relationship with Avraham, Ekev asher shema Avraham bekoli, because the reason you're being treated like this is because Avraham obeyed, v'yishmor mishmarti mitzotai chokotai v'toratai. By the way, that Ekev, the Gemara tells us, a gematria. The Gemara doesn't use that many gematria, but it says here, Ekev is 172, and that's one of the sources that Avram discovered God when he was 3 years old. That means for 172 years, Avram listened to me, and Avram died at 175, so there's 3 extra years. So you can say that for the first 3 years, Avram did not listen to God. That's when he studied his comparative religion, and that's when he did other things, but from the age of three. Then he begins his monotheistic stage. V'yeshev Yitzchak b'Grar, and then Yitzchak settles in Grar. V'shalu anshei makom li'ishto v'yom achotihi, and I think, you know, some of you say, hold it, we know that, we've heard this one before, and yes, because Yitzchak does what Avraham does. Yitzchak goes in the same, he does the same things. Ki yirei lamar ishto p'nyaraguni anshei makom al Rivka ki tovat marehi. V'hikir chulo sham hayamim, and after a while, we have Avimelech behaving most inappropriately. V'shkef Avimelech melech pishtim ba'ad hachalon, and he's peeping in through the window, Vayar, and he sees, V'nei Yitzchak mitzachek et Rivka ishto. So that's a wonderful turn of phrase. Yitzchak is mitzachek et Rivka ishto. So previously we were told last week in Chayesara that Yitzchak loved his wife, and over here we find this intimacy and this fondness, and there's every reason to believe the relationship is a wonderful relationship, other than some of the things that we learn, you know, subsequently about how there seems to be some kind of real interesting communication or lack of communication. But what can you do? I mean, seems to be a Jewish custom. Not all of us communicate greatly. My kids know this. They tell one of us something, they just assume that we tell the other one, and that doesn't always happen. Anyway, getting back to Yitzchak, who has this intimacy and fondness with his wife, and he loves her, and everything seems to be good, and then Avimelech over here seems outraged by this. She's your wife, lo and behold, because I've been peeking in through the window. And again, we've seen all this with Avimelech. And maybe that's where Avimelech's being a little bit more careful, but it really is quite bizarre. And I always wondered if Ginsberg, who named his work, and that was his pen name, Achad Ha'am, if he took it because of this, because that's not a good thing. Kimat shachav Achad Ha'am et ishtecha veveita adleinu asham, that you almost brought guilt upon us. V'itzavi melchakot l'am lemar hanogeya b'isha zev v'ishto mot yumat. And he gives this order, and again, it seems to be that he you know, has this memory of things that have happened in the past, and instruction is do not go there. And that's assuming it's the same Avimelech, that it's a personal name and not a title. Who knows? And then we're told something else, which I think is really important, but it's really easy to skip it as well. V'yizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, v'yimtza b'shanayhi me'yash sha'arim, v'yivrcheyu Hashem. The English translation is Yitzchak sowed in that land, and he reaped in that year 100-fold, that's me'yash sha'arim, 100-fold, because God had blessed him. So not only does God speak to him, God says he's going to bless him, and God does bless him, but I do want to keep a couple of things in mind. One is, as we proceed, we're going to learn that there is this type of interesting affinity between Yitzchak and Asadeh. Right? We find him doing various things and talking about and connected to Asadeh. And the Gemara takes that really far, as hopefully we'll see. But over here is when we actually see Yitzchak as a farmer. And that's interesting, because with one exception, right, depending on what the word Eshel means and what Avraham did there at the end of that chapter, was chapter 21, we generally see the Avod as people who were involved in cattle. They were shepherds, they were cowboys, if you will. But we don't find them planting, because again, in order to plant, you need actually to own the land. And Yitzchak apparently feels comfortable enough that he can plant, so that's interesting. The other thing is that there's a famine. And if there's a famine, those of you who are city folk and don't know that much about planting, you need to plant things, which otherwise you potentially could have eaten. Which means you're taking something alive and you're putting it into the ground, and essentially you're believing in a concept which we call Tchiyat HaMetim, resurrection. And indeed, Yitzchak is quite connected to Tchiyat HaMetim. I mean, Yitzchak's the one who was almost dead, and he gets up from the altar. When we look at the Shemona Esrei, the first three brachot of the Avot, the first one, Magen Avraham, is clearly connected to Avraham, God protects Avram. That's the praise that we say every day. And the second one is connected to Yitzchak, and that's Tchiyat HaMetim. So Mechayim Metim. So that's interesting that Yitzchak does plant, and not only does he plant, it's blessed. And I want to now pause and make an observation, which we're just going to stay with all the way through. Again, I was saying, I was hoping that you were going to see this and get this and understand it, but I know as well as you that I have to say it a little bit more clearly. And that is that as much as I've commented in the past, recently, that there's a big difference between the book of Bereishit and the book of Shemot. And the big difference is that Bereishit, for the most part, you know, again, you can claim exceptions, but for the most part, and I'll even qualify this, the life of the patriarchs or the matriarchs, even though we have these miraculous children being born every now and again, what we have is mostly an existence which we can call Derech HaTeva. It's one which is a natural existence. And then you get to the book of Shemot, and then you have, you know, frogs, and you have, for some people, lice is not that exceptional, but there are all these things that take place, which splitting of the sea and so on, that you have in Shemot going against Teva. Yitzchak is a really interesting case. You know, on the one hand, his birth itself. What is it? Is that Derech HaTeva or not Derech HaTeva? His mother returning back to her youth. So now you can say, hold it, I overstated my case before. But there's something else about Yitzchak, and we'll use this example right now as one, but there's going to be more, that it's a time of famine, nobody has food, he takes what he has, he plants it in the ground, and it grows. Now, do you want to use the word miraculously? Or do you want to say that there was a great deal of Saita Deshmaya, you know, heavenly help? I don't know how you want to call it, but I will say it like this, that there's something about Yitzchak that things happen, and things happen very, very quickly, which means the time lag between the action and then the, I don't want to call it a miracle, but I will call it a divine response, is one which is exceptional, and it's very different from, I would say, the other avot, the other patriarchs. So just keep your eye on that for a moment, because as I said, I'm going to be staying with this, and this is what we're going to see as we proceed all the way through. But over here, he plants in a famine, and he gets this remarkable amount of food. And again, he gets more and more wealthy because of this. Having the only food during a time of a famine could be something which is quite advantageous. And everyone else is jealous. Now, why everyone else is jealous? Because there's a famine going on. And there's a famine, nobody else has anything growing. By the way, notice what was missing in the description. Did you notice? It never said, and then it rained. It said he planted and it grew. How did it grow? It grew. Why did it grow? Because Yitzchak planted it. Then only does it come to this point about the wells. The Kol HaBe'erot Asher Chafru Avdei Aviv B'mei Avraham Avinu S'tmum Plishtim V'mleum Afar. Now we're going back to this point. And now we don't know when this happened. We know that Avram had dug them out a while ago, which is a good thing to have in a desert. And again, I want to pause. Yitzchak makes the desert bloom. If you want to know where's the Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, the person who makes the desert bloom, that's Yitzchak. What did he do? He planted. What else did he do? I have no idea, although I would love to say that maybe he prayed, but he was blessed, and the blessing works, and he's growing things down there by Gush Katif. That's what he's doing. He's growing all kinds of things, and nobody else can. And the others, what do they do? Just in case you want to suspect that history repeats itself, that there's a source of water, and they fill it up with dirt. Now, we're not told when they did it, but it actually sounds like they do it now because there is this jealousy. This is the jealousy. They're jealous, so what do? They get rid of the water source. That means they must think that Yitzchak is using this water. Nobody else has it. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But, you know, if we can't have food, then no one should have food. So as much as Yitzchak, you know, nobody touch him and be careful with him, so now Avimelech has turned on him. V'yashav Yitzchak v'yichvor et be'erot ha'mayim asher chafru b'yimei Avraham avin. Right, again, after Avram died, they had closed them. Again, it sounds it's a while ago. I don't know. So again, what does Yitzchak do? His father dug wells, he's going to dig the same wells. His father gave them names, he's going to give them the same names. And they find water. And they fight. You know, they're the ones who filled it up with sand. No, it's our water. Right? They had started up with him. Hatred. Those who want can look at the Kli Yakar. He sees all of this as some kind of a remez having to do with the first, second, and third Beit HaMikdash. Kaf Gimel Vayal Misham Be'er Shava Vayira Elav Hashem B'laylohu Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avraham Avicha Al Tira. Again, God appears to him, connection with Avraham. Ki itcha anochi v'rachticha v'rbeti et zaracha ba'avur Avram avdi. And again, repeating, because of Avram. So you see that Yitzchak is connected to Avram. He does what Avram does, and he gets blessings based on Avram. And there is this, again, strong connection, relationship with impacts, relationship with God. V'yivin shem izbeach v'yikra b'shem Hashem. V'yikra b'shem Hashem, we'll see, is he prays. He reaches out to God and he prays. V'yat sham o'alo v'yich. Rusham Avde Yitzchak Be'er, Vavi Melech Halach Elav Migrar, Vachuzat Merehu Ufichu Sar Tzeba'o. And Avi Melech comes to see him, and he brings together with him his military leader, which, by the way, is most certainly a threat. If you want, you can call it passive aggression, but it's not. Vayomor Leim Yitzchak Madu Abatem Elai. What are you doing here? Vatem Senetem Oti. Vatem Shulcheni Meitchem. You sent me away. You don't want me. We have discerned that God is with you. And over here they use the name Yudke Vavke. Let us make a covenant. Now, the reason why some of this, of course, is interesting is, and I'll read more if you want. Which is really funny because they're completely, you know, they'll make a covenant. The only problem with making a covenant is that there already was a covenant that they broke. Ata Baruch Hashem. And again, noticed Baruch Hashem Yudke Vavke Vayasla Mishtevi Chlu Vishtu Vayishkim Vaboker Vayishvu Ish Lachiv Vayishlachem Yitzchak Vayachum Etobu Shalom. Again, Yitzchak finds water. Now, all of this that I just described, again, happened with Avram with slight differences. Over here, we have also, this is back, Perikof Aleph. Elokim imcha. So it's interesting. Here it's midat adin. They see God is with you. And there's much more to say about this. But other than the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vavke versus Elokim, you notice that it's a very similar scene, same kind of modus operandi. He goes and he brings his general with him, which again is, what do we call this? Lachatz matun. That, you know, it's trying to put a moderate amount of pressure on. Again, let's make a vow. Avat Hashiva Liba Elokim over here. It's Elokim instead of Hashem, but also that we'll have a relationship. But you realize, you know, for the future generations, it didn't work that well because he has to make another one with his son. So you could decide how long these peace treaties with people on that part of the world tend to last. And as I said, you could decide also. They stole the Be'er then. So you see that. Yes, we've been there, we've done this, this all happened, and he gives him gifts, and he gives him seven gifts, and they make a vow, and they name Be'er Sheva. I'm saying all of this happened already. But again, Yitzchak needs to repeat things that Avram did, especially when the people that he's dealing with are not necessarily ones who are going to keep their side of the vow. Over here, I mentioned before that he prayed, so you see the word Vitzali Bishmei Dashem. Yitzchak, that goes back in Perikah Vav, that Yitzchak prayed to God. So Yitzchak prays. Things happen. Water appears. Things grow. People realize it. People see that God's with them. It doesn't mean they're going to be nice to him all the time. It's only when they feel they have no choice. Rashi points out how unlikely it was to grow. That's going to upset all kinds of people. So you can have that discussion if you want. Is Aza, is that Eretz Plishtim? Is it part of Eretz Israel? Is it real Eretz Israel? Is it second-rate Eretz Israel? So it's not the same as Eretz Shiva Goyim. So as I said, you can look at this Rashi, look at commentaries on Rashi. I have the Gur Aryeh right afterwards who writes, of course it's Israel. Which is, as Rashi himself says, but it's not Ikar Eretz Israel Atzma. So it's Israel, but not real Israel, second-rate Israel. So, but Rashi continues, quoting from the Midrash back and forth, Bishanahi afal pisha eino kitikna, even though that it was not a good year. It was not a year that there was a famine. That means the likelihood of anything growing was really, it was abysmal. You're not going to grow anything. This is not the place where things grow, and it's the wrong year because there's a drought. But nonetheless, Yitzchak grew all kinds of things there because it's Yitzchak. Rav Avraham ben Arambam points out the same thing. Again, quoting from Chazal, Rav Sadia, saying this was not the right year, the Al Shech as well. But he says, but he had some zchut. Nitzrachu shtei zuchiyot, hayot Yitzchak, hayot ha'aretz ahi zavat chalav udvash, which is really good. Meaning, he doesn't, like we Rashi even started to go, no, this is the land of Israel. This is blessed, even though there's a drought. But what's the other part of it? It's Yitzchak. It's Yitzchak. And again, he doesn't explain that as much as I would like. It's Yitzchak. That's what it is. And there's a blessing. Why is there a blessing? Because it's Yitzchak. The Netziv in Source 8 spells out the financial issue over here. That because it was a famine, no one else had food. And he had the entire market. And therefore, everyone had to come by to him. Which, by the way, later on, we're going to hear about Yosef. But here you see that without leaving the land of Israel, Yitzchak gets up to the same point. Yitzchak doesn't need dreams. Yitzchak doesn't need anything else. And all of this happens by itself. Okay. Now I want to back up a little bit and try to see, A, this issue about Yitzchak and immediate responses. I want to see a couple of more examples of it. And then, B, I want to get to implications of it. So far we had Yitzchak being a place which is the wrong place. Nothing should grow. Everything grows. And why does it grow? What was the answer? As the Al Shech said, because of Yitzchak. Okay? Yitzchak is blessed. That's what it is. So now let's look at a couple more examples of this. In source number 12, we're introduced to Yitzchak again. It's not the first time, but again. The Elul told it Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avram holy to Yitzchak. Which means the connection that we discerned in the next chapter of this interrelation between Yitzchak and Avraham is really said clearly and repeated for us to understand. Yitzchak is the son of Avram. Avram is the father of Yitzchak. These two, they walk together, right? They walk together. They walk together. That's who they are. They walk together. They walk in the same path. They walk in the same footsteps. They do things. Yitzchak does what his father did. That's the introduction. Yitzchak prays to God. Now we can see, is this the first time he prays or not? Don't answer me. But this is the first time it says, Vayetar Yitzchak lahashem, lunochach ishto ki akarahi, vayetar lo hashem. Now, I'll tell you what I don't know. Vayetar Rivka ishto. I'll tell you what I don't know. I don't know how much time went by. Now, some of you are going to be clever, and you're going to tell me, well, you know how much time went by. How much time went by? You'll say from the time they were married until the babies are born, it's 20 years. That's completely true. I don't know when it was that Yitzchak first davened. I don't know when he first prayed. And the reason I don't know is because the text doesn't tell me. Actually, the way the text phrases it is it sounds like there is an action, and there's a reaction. and it doesn't make any kind of reference or acknowledgement that there may be even some kind of a time lag there. And I want to read it again. Pasuk of Aleph, V'yatar Yitzchak LaHashem L'nochi Ishto Ki Karahi, V'yatar Lo Hashem, V'yatar Rivka Ishto. One verse. Yitzchak prays to God, and God responds to his prayer. Which means the way that it's presented to us is as a remarkable response. Yitzchak prays, he gets a response. That's how this works. Why does it work this way? Because it's Yitzchak. When perhaps, and now I'm perhaps exaggerating and perhaps not, maybe this will allow us to reread the Akedah scene, which is source 14, that Yitzchak is lying there on the altar, about to be slaughtered. And I don't know if Yitzchak says a prayer. There's no evidence. But what I do know is that the timing, again, is perfect. It says, V'yisa avar metenav, v'yarvinei ayel achar nechaz bisvach v'karnav. And miraculously, at the exact right moment, again, we have this, we have the angel coming, and then we have the ayel appearing. And I've always read it as the Avram story, and we kind of ignore it, even though potentially the implication of the Akedah having taken place may have been a little bit stronger for Yitzchak. But as I said, I would not have paid attention to that other than it falls into a series of behavior. And let me point out another two, which is then another one, and then that's going to cause me to reconsider something else. And again, we're going to keep on going backwards till we don't have to go backwards anymore. In source 15, we have the last week, the Eved going and finding looking for and then finding a wife for Yitzchak. So at the very end, Posuk Samech Bet, we're told, Yitzchak Ba, Mibo Be'er L'chai Ro'i, again, now we realize this stuff about wells is a little more interesting and compelling than we may have noticed before. V'hu yoshev be'eretz ha-negev. V'yetze Yitzchak l'suach b'sadeh l'fnot arev. V'yise ena v'yar v'neg malim ba'im. Now do you realize that that was really similar to what we just now saw about by the Akedah? He lifts up his eyes and he sees. Over here he lifts up, there he lifts up his eyes, he's an animal. And here he lifts up his eyes and sees animals coming. But there's another element here. And that's what Chazal do with it. I'm going to admit, it's Chazal. You can tell me I'm exaggerating. I'm okay with it, but I'm not. Yitzchak goes, L'suach b'sadeh. What does that mean, L'suach b'sadeh? L'suach, you can tell me, it means that he's talking. So here are your choices. Is Yitzchak, again, you can go this way if you want. You won't be the first. Is Yitzchak suffering from post-traumatic stress and he's mumbling to himself as he's walking in the desert? No. No, Harriet, say no. No. Is Yitzchak talking to himself? Or, as Chazal learned from this, the source that you're supposed to pray, Mincha, is that Yitzchak goes out and he's praying. Yitzchak goes, L'soch b'sadeh. This is where they understand the afternoon prayer from. So I just want to show you what we gain from this. First of all, we gain Mincha, right? That's an important thing. We gain Mincha. But it's much more interesting than that. Let's take a look and see what happens. Yitzchak now is, let's go with Chazal. They're good people. Yitzchak is praying. V'yetzi Yitzchak suruch b'sadeh. L'fnot erev. And that's how we learn, you know, Davin Mincha. V'yisa evna v'yar v'nei gemalim bayim. And what does he see? He sees that they're coming. V'tisa rivka t'ena v'tiretz Yitzchak, and so on. Also notice over here when he's described in Pasuk Samachay, V'tomer ela eved mi ha'ish halazeh aholech b'sadeh. So notice there is the sadeh here, and Pasuk Samachim l'soach b'sadeh, which means this connection of Yitzchak and field wasn't just the planting. It was actually, I mean, that's the next chapter. It's already before this. We find Yitzchak going around in the field. We find Yitzchak praying in the field. We find Yitzchak having a religious experience in the field. But what was, this is the test, what was the content of Yitzchak's prayer? Now you could say to me, he's praying Mincha. Fine, he's praying Mincha. What did he say in Shema Kolenu? Which means, what did Yitzchak need at that moment that he was praying for? And I think it's very obvious. I know you people well, and you prefer to find dead rabbis to say what is obvious to me. but I'll tell it to you, and then we'll find others to say it. Yitzchak is very obviously praying for a shidduch. Why is he praying for a shidduch? Because he's 40 years old and he's a bacher. What do they call him? A younger light, right? He's not married. But it's more than that. His proxy is out on a date trying to find the girl for him. So what's he praying for? He's praying that the Eved Eliezer, that he does a good job. So he's there praying. And what happens, and that's what I'm trying to get to. Don't worry, I'm going to make this stronger in a moment. What happens when Yitzchak prays? Immediately he looks up and she's there. Why? Because that's Yitzchak. Meaning, that's exactly my point. And that's why I was tempted to say this by the Akedah. Because Yitzchak, things seem to happen in this immediate, unexpected, it looks almost coincidental, like it's a natural process, but it really is quite amazing. I'm going to show you now a couple of the commentators who seem to understand this point. Again, I'm going to go further than they go, but they seem to understand this, not seem, they understand this point, some stronger than others, and some articulate it much stronger. First of all, let's start with the Targum. Unafaki, it's like Litzala, he's going to pray. Bechakla, he's praying in the field, right? Right in, before the evening. Wonderful. The Gemara tells us, Yitzchak 17, and then brings a verse to prove this point. Now, this is a big issue. When you're supposed to daven mincha, Yitzchak apparently held like the Yerushalmi. So Yitzchak, which makes sense, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So when does he think the time to daven is? Right before sunset. The Balaturim, Lesorach B'Sadeh, Hainu Tefilah Sh'Yitzchak Tiken Tefilah Mincha. Again, connects it with the prayer. Va'azn Nizdama Lo Rivka. You notice, again, did he say it? Yeah, he said it. Did he say it as clearly as you wanted him to say it? I don't know. He goes and he prays, and what happens? And Rivka appears. He didn't tell you that's what he's praying for, but he says, Hainu Dichtiv, Al Zot Yitpalel Kol Chasir Lecha La'et Matzo. The Hainu Isha, Dichtiv Matzo, Isha Matzatov. So yes, he just gave a Dvar Torah you can use by Yesheva Brachot, that he was praying for his wife, he was praying for a wife, and immediately she appears. The Sforno points out, it says, Afal Pisha Kfar Hitpalel Be'er Lechai Ro'i, V'kol Nishpalel Ne'ena. That immediately, when he prayed, immediately it happened. So the Sforno notes this immediateness of his prayers coming true. So again, did he say he's praying for a wife? I think he did. The Al-Shech says he didn't even realize that Eliezer was going to come back so soon because he just left yesterday. But, you know, Chazal say that sometimes people on important missions get to fly in unexpected ways. Kliyakar actually says it. So the first point, of course, he's davening mincha. Lufnot erev, samach la'erev shemesh, right? That's the time that we daven. And then he tells us some important things about mincha. Mincha is a prayer that we should be careful about because people get answered by mincha. That Yitzchak's prayer was answered immediately. And then he writes, you have it right here, Ki mistama, because apparently hitpalel Yitzchak al hazivug ba'odayot Eliezer b'derech. What was he davening for? He's davening for the zivug. He's davening for the shidduch. So you could ask, why didn't Yitzchak go to Amuka to daven? Okay, it's a good question. Apparently he didn't know about it. By the way, the idea that you daven Amuka was only suggested by a cab driver in around 1950. It was it's not one of these old traditions. Yitzchak davens and is responded to immediately. So again, I am trying to point out this Yitzchak, again, we seem to not know that much about Yitzchak. So what I'm trying to uncover over here is something about his personality. And as I said, we're still going to see some implications of it. But first, this insight is going to let us understand something that I didn't understand till around 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday when I was thinking about this. I actually woke up and I texted myself about this. I know you could ask, oh, did you say Berachat HaTorah? Did you not say Berachat HaTorah? You can ask many questions. But if you want, I can show you the text. So. Let's try this again. Oh, So let's yeah, he's 40 years old. He's, one second, somebody asked over here in the chat. He's 40 years old when he gets married. That we're told in the beginning of this week's parasha. So now, everything we just now saw allowed me to understand something which I didn't understand before. And I said all kinds of other things, which now we can assume is silly, because now I'm completely convinced on what I say this week. So let me show you what I'm talking about. When we go back to this section about Yitzchak going and praying in the field and waiting for the Eved to come back. So what does it say? Let's be careful now. Posek Samad Gimel, he's going to Surah B'Sadeh Lifnot Erev. He prays in the evening. Why? Because Yitzchak is Metakin Mincha. Yitzchak is the one, that's what he does. Yitzchak prays. And I'm going to say it again. That's how Chazal understand this, that Yitzchak was Metakin Mincha and he prays in the evening. Earlier in this text, I asked a question, not this week, about the Eved, right? The beginning of 15. The Eved takes the jewelry store with him, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Avrechem Olim Yichutz La'ir, El Be'er Amayim, of course, there's a well over there, which now we can completely understand differently. Of course there's a well. Why? Because the Eved is a shliach of Yitzchak, as well as Avram, but he's there on a mission for Yitzchak. So of course it's near Be'er. Of course that has to be part of the story. La'it Erev. It's the evening. What's the significance of the evening? So I had asked late there of Tzedosh Rav, and I'd asked again numerous times about the next prayer that he says, Vayomer Shem Elokei Adonai Avraham, Makarei Nalefnai Hayom. You know, do this for me today. And I raised the possibility: does he want to fail? Maybe he's got a daughter at home. Does he want to succeed? And maybe he tells you about the belief of it. Let's stay with yes, the belief. It means he knows Yitzchak. He goes to the Be'er. He knows Yitzchak. He prays, and he knows another thing about Yitzchak: that Yitzchak gets responded to immediately. That's who Yitzchak is. I can't tell you when he saw this before, but I'm telling you I saw this enough times afterwards. And I want to say this in a bit of a sharper way. The behavior of the Eved in the beginning of the chapter is the same as what we see at the end of the chapter regarding Yitzchak. Yitzchak prays when, Lifnot Erev, he lifts up his eyes and he's there. What does he do? He prays, right, Le'et Erev, he says his thing, and then what happens? And then he lifts up his eyes and he sees her, and there she is. Which means the parallel between Yitzchak seeing Rivka after praying and the Eved or Eliezer seeing Rivka after praying, it's staring at us. And the thing which shocked me is that I never noticed it before. It's okay, I didn't notice anybody else saying it either, but it's just staring at us. I'm going to say this again. It's Yitzchak. This is what Yitzchak is. And if this Eved knows he's on a mission for Yitzchak, so of course he gets into this Yitzchak mode, and it's the Be'er. And it's the Be'er in the beginning of the chapter, and it's the Be'er at the end of the chapter. And it's the Eight Erev, and he says the prayer right by the Mincha time. Why? Because he's on a mission from Yitzchak. And then there would be this full expectation for it to happen. Why? And I'll say it again. Because it's Yitzchak. Because that's how Yitzchak works. That's how things work for Yitzchak, that Yitzchak prays and things happen. Why? I can't tell you why. I'm just observing that's what happens. Okay? So now the implications of all this. What happens if you're Yitzchak's apparently unsuccessful son? Who? Esav. So on the one hand, having a father like Yitzchak, well, you know, you have to pray. I don't know. I never saw Esav pray. And then things happen immediately. But Yitzchak is the kind of guy that whenever he takes out the car and he goes someplace, there's a parking space right in front. You know why? Because it's Yitzchak. Yitzchak's got karma. That's what it is. That Yitzchak is the kind of person that everything works out. He goes to the store and he picks up the last milk. Why? Because it's Yitzchak. I mean, I'm saying this is what happens. And what happens when you're Esav? So when you're Esav, you want to be like Yitzchak, but the problem is that you're not. And why you're not, that will leave to the psychologist to decide why you're not. But he's not. Whether he tries or not, I don't know. But he most likely feels quite inadequate. And he fails. He feels like a failure. But I just want to move over a little bit to Esav. By the way, Yitzchak involved in the field, the Gemara tells us that Zra'im, right, somebody who's involved in agriculture, that is connected to Emunah. Amrei Shlakish, Ma'adichtiv, Aya Emunat, and so on. It's quoted in the Pasuk in Source 24 from Yishayo. Emunot, Zeh Seder Zra'im. Yitzchak is connected to the field, and therefore, of course, the Zra'im. Now, if we look at 25, and we're introduced to Esav, we're told v'yidlu hane'arim v'yisav ish yodei atzayid ish sadeh. Now, I don't get that. Which one is it? Is it ish yodei atzayid or is it ish sadeh? Because I would have thought that ostensibly the ish sadeh is the farmer. But what the hunter and the farmer, you know, those are not the same things. If I need to remind you, you can go... Well, in a certain sense, you can go all the way back to Cain and Hevel, even though you can argue whether it's a farm. I mean, one deals with animals, different kind of relationship. One raises them, one kills them. But the other is the farmer. And over here, there seems to even be this inner contradiction and tension between Yodei Atzayid, Ish Sadeh. Now, of course, you're going to tell me that, no, somehow it works together, and he somehow is hunting in the field. But you all know that's not really satisfactory. It's really not. Because you go hunting wherever you hunt. And the Ish Sadeh, I mean, it should have been phrased differently. Ish Sadeh, he's a man of the field. I would think that he's an unsuccessful man of the field. Because one of the things you need to be a farmer is that you need consistency. You have to get up early and you have to have patience and you have to do a lot of work. And you also need belief. And that emunah that we saw a moment ago, I'm not convinced that he had it. When it says, "V'yizid Yaakov nazid v'yavo Esav min hasadeh v'hu ayef," that he comes from the field and he's tired, which means this being the farmer, this pretense, this existence is one which is very, very difficult. And by the way, he never says he's hungry in that whole section. He says he's tired. Rashi writes, "Ish sadeh kimashmo." I'm not sure what Mashmo means. Adam batel v'tzoda b'kashto chayot v'ofot. A lazy person. It's very interesting. Adam batel, somebody who's lazy, and then he kind of just shoots in all directions with his bow and arrow. So I find that very interesting. On the other hand, the Rashbam understands that Yaakov, who is the Yoshev Ohalim, ro'et son aviv. He builds the tents of the shepherd who goes off with his animals as they go from place to place to place, and he is actually a shepherd. But it's interesting how Esav is an Ish Sadeh, but an unsuccessful Ish Sadeh. Instead, he's a hunter. In Source 28, I'm not even going to bother going through the whole thing. I'm going to let you do it if you want to. You can go and count how many times it says Sadeh over here, where he tells him, Tzeh HaSadeh, go out to the field. Yilech Sadeh Latzud, he goes out to the field. Yitzchak, for his part, is very connected, and he wants to smell, what does he say in Pasuk of Zion? He sees the blessing of God in the field, and the blessing that he gives is a blessing of things that grow. It's the farmer's bracha. It's fascinating. Yitzchak is not giving him a bracha. May you be a strong and mighty hunter. He didn't say that to him. He say, may you be a great farmer, which is not the thing that Esav is. Esav is... It's what Yitzchak is, but it's not what Esav is. And Esav may go through the motions. He may go out to the field. He may do things, but I don't see him. I see a total disconnect over here. And there is this tiredness. There is this, I'll go so far as to say, there is this depression about Esav. There's this difficulty that he has trying to match up with his understanding of his father's existence. And at the end, you know, it is quite different. If you're going to look at Source 29, the Gemara goes so far as to say, again, I hinted at this earlier, right, by the Akedah, v'lo ki Yitzchak shekatuv bo sadeh shenem aviyetzi Yitzchak l'suach b'sadeh, which means this Gemara is telling us that this concept is absolutely who Yitzchak is. He is the Sadeh. That's who he is. That's his identity. That's his spirituality. Yaakov is connected to something else. Avram is connected to something else. Yitzchak is the Sadeh. So I'm really going to finish up today and say as follows. I mean, I have a couple more sources. I don't want to get into all of them. They'll take us far afield. One of them is about Yitzchak and his breakdown. In source 26, Rashi tells us that the Adashim Adumot. I told Naomi that I think that we should have lentil soup for Shabbos for Uncle Esav. I think we should have some lentil soup. Adashim Adumot voto yom mate Avram. Shlo yired Esav ben no yotze l'tabur ra. I mean, and then Rashi does the math that Avram lives to 170, and Yitzchak, who walks in Avram's footsteps, lives to 180. Why does he die 5 years before? And the answer is because it's a chesed that God did. He didn't want him to, he should have lived to 180, but God didn't want him to see Esav go, quote unquote, off the derech. But it's also interesting because it's saying, and then the day Avram dies is the day that he then gets totally despondent, and that's the day that he actually gives up. So it's the death of Avram convinces Esav why bother trying, why even trying. But as I said, I think that there's something else over here. I think that aside from the death of Avram, aside from, you know, a person has to deal with death for the first time, perhaps, which is funny because he's a man who has a great deal of connection with death. He's a hunter. He's in the business of death all the time. But nonetheless, the death of Avraham is something which seems to break him. And the Midrash says that. But as I said, I think that there's something else there as well. I think that there's feelings of inadequacy because of Yitzchak being this man of the Sadeh who values it. He prays from the Sadeh. He sees the Sadeh as something which is blessed by God. His field is blessed by God. But it's more than that. All the blessings we're seeing about Yitzchak create this dynamic where things seem to happen immediately and unexpectedly, or maybe it is expectedly, but it goes on every single step. And that's why I said, yeah, it happens when he lifts up his eyes and then his wife appears. He just davened for her, and there she's right there. And maybe that's what the Eved was doing as well. He prays in the evening, just like Yitzchak does, and then he's channeling his Yitzchak, because he's on a mission for Yitzchak right now. So he does the same thing, and the well's there as well. But you realize that the key to all of this was that chapter that we, I think, tend to skip or not to look at as carefully, because all the elements were actually there. It was Yitzchak as the farmer. It was Yitzchak who's planting. It's Yitzchak who's praying. It's Yitzchak who's blessed. Who's Yitzchak who has this connection to Avram, and Yitzchak who's blessed because of Avram, and he walks in Avram's footsteps and he does what Avram does, which means Yitzchak succeeds in doing exactly what his father does, and Esav fails in doing what his father does. Which means that's the dynamic which seems to be taking place over here. And perhaps Esav is very well aware that everything Yitzchak does, whenever you ask Yitzchak, it has to do, what do? It's the Mesorah. Whatever my father did, that's what we do. It's the Mesorah. We follow what Avram did. That's all that we have in this world is Avram Avinu. That's all that we have. By the way, by knowing all that we have is Avram Avinu, so what happens when Avram dies? What are we going to do now? And Esav completely falls apart. Yitzchak, for his part, he does whatever Avram does. And that's the key to everything that happens. But it's more than that. He does whatever Avram does, and he's blessed. And he's blessed immediately. And he prays, and there's a response. And that is why now I'm willing to go back and say that that's what's going on with Eliezer, with the Eved, and maybe even that's what takes place by the Akedah, because of course things happen miraculously and immediately when you're Yitzchak. But what happens when you're Yitzchak's son, who doesn't seem to have the same fortitude and doesn't seem to have the same belief and doesn't seem to have the same emunah? He doesn't even seem to be able to plant. He's not able to, again, planting is tchiyat hametim. It's bringing things back to life. It's putting things which are alive in the ground, and then they die and they come back to life. And instead, he's somebody who's involved with death. He's somebody who takes things that are alive and he kills them. And that's the end of the relationship, which means it's the exact opposite of Yitzchak, who is related to Tchiyat HaMetim. What he does is that he is memit et hachayim instead of being mechaye hametim, and therefore it's a completely, completely different existence, and one where Esav, perhaps he wanted to be a man of the field, but Esav eventually falls short. And that is independent of every and all the other issues that may take place, who he chooses to marry and so on and so forth. But what he does, what we see about him, is that this great man or father, great grandfather, and Esav, again, could have tried to find his own path. If we think about Yaakov for a moment, Yaakov, nothing happens immediately. Yaakov, everything's delayed gratification. Yeah, and Yaakov's able to do it. Which means Yaakov paves a new path. And his new path is very different from his father's path. He has the belief, he has the determination, and he's willing to invest long term, and he's willing to wait, if it's 7 years or 14 years, as long as it's going to take, and eventually going to succeed. Which means Am Yisrael very much is Yaakov. Halavai, halavai, halavai. We can channel some of Yitzchak sometimes and have our prayers come and immediately be responded and have miraculous things happen in front of us. And again, that is part of who we are. And remember, specifically in a geographical place, which is very close to the place that we're very concerned about. Absolute miracles take place. Yitzchak prays. Yitzchak does things. Yitzchak can make the desert bloom. All of this comes from Yitzchak. On the other hand, sometimes we need to channel Yaakov, and sometimes we're in longer processes, but longer processes are ones which are part of who we are as well. We're people who can leave our home for 2,000 years and come back as if we never left. Yitzchak is somebody who never leaves, and he's the one who says, no, this has always been my house. So both of them are who we are. We are children of Avram and children of Yitzchak and children of Yaakov. Esav made his choices, and therefore we're not really connected. But as I said, we can have a bowl of soup for him on Friday night and have him in mind and have a l'chaim for Uncle Esav, but for the fetter. But that's as far as it goes.